welcome everybody. Let's worship together. Here we go. To the amazing one, to the unchanging one, to him the anthem raise. Lift up your hymns of praise for all the things he's done, for all the things to come. To him the anthem raise. Lift up a shout today. Praise him with all of the music. Praise him in all of the nations. Praise him with all of creation. We praise him. We praise him. Praise him with all of your heart. Sing. Praise him in this generation. Jesus, the light of salvation. We praise him. We praise him. See now the risen one. See the exalted Son. To him the anthem raise. Lift up your hymns of praise for all the things he on God has done, for all the things to come. To him the anthem raise. Lift up a shout of praise him with all of the music. Praise him in all of the nations. Praise him with all of creation. We praise him. We praise him. Praise him with all of your heart. Sing. Praise him in this generation. Jesus, the light of salvation. We praise. Let's sing the praise.
Your servant, and I am listening. Speak to me, Lord, speak to me. I need your wisdom, your truth and comfort, Lord. Speak to me, Lord, speak.
As we prepare our hearts and minds for the communion table now, will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your living and enduring word. Please strengthen us now as we come to your table. In fact, this table is open to all. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, the only condition of you coming to the table is that you give your life to Christ. And I want to give you that opportunity now. If you've never said yes, you can pray with me and just say, God, I'm saying yes to you now. Forgive me of my sin and save me because of Jesus and his work on the cross and his life and death and resurrection. Teach me to follow you all the days of my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit, drinking in your word every day, staying aligned with you every day, and declaring your purposes every day, your praises every day. For those of you that are Christians already, I want to encourage you, take a moment now and just prepare your hearts as we come to God's table. So God, now we pray that you would just search us. If there's any way offensive in us, that you would bring that to mind now, that we might confess it to you and receive forgiveness from you. Maybe God's bringing something to mind. Just confess it to him now. For others of you, it might just be a sense of joy and delight that God's bringing to mind. And just thank him for that, his goodness in your life. Well, on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ took a loaf of bread. He had gathered his disciples and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." You can go ahead now and take a piece of the bread, remembering what Christ has done for you. Thank you, Christ, for all that you've done for us. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup of wine and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant based upon the shedding of my blood. As often as you do this, drink this in remembrance of me." And now you can take a bit of your juice as well, remembering what Christ has done. So Christ, I thank you and remember what you've done for me and for your bride, the church. Well, church, it's great to celebrate communion with you, and may you experience God's communion with you both now and throughout this week, remembering that he's the cornerstone, the living word, and he's invited you to a great purpose to be part of the royal priesthood that he's building of every tribe, of every tongue, and of every nation. Thanks, everyone.
Welcome once again. My name is Marvin. Great to be with you. If this is your very first time here at Christian Assembly, thank you for being with us. We love that you were here. Welcome, especially to those of you guys up in the upper room. I see you. We love you. Hello. And a special welcome to those of you online as well. We see you. We love you. And hello to you as well. If you are new, if you are visiting, we would love to get to know you. And just the easiest way to do that is for you to fill out the connection card. It's right in the seat in front of you. You can grab that card and fill that out, drop it in the offering bag when it comes around in a little bit. There's also a new people's table out in the lobby. You can stop at that new people's table. Someone there will say hello to you and want to get some information so that we can call you this week and tell you a little bit more about our church and, of course, hear from you as well. I'm going to highlight a few announcements. All of this information is on our app. It's on our website. It's in the bulletin. So please make use of those resources. But number one, our women's ministry is hosting Summer in the Proverbs, and the women are going to be reading the book of Proverbs together to discover practical wisdom found in that great book in choosing how to live the way God designed us to. So encourage all the women to get into the reading plan. There's a reading plan along with a weekly devotional email. You can register for that online so that you can get that email. Secondly, there's a training called Reaching the Unreached. Did you know that there are almost 7,000 unreached people groups who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so we want to be a people who moves towards reaching those with the gospel. And there's going to be a training held here by our CA's own Dr. Greg Livingstone and Dan Torres, who are experienced missionaries. And so we'd love for you to be a part of that training. Again, that's called Reaching the Unreached. CA internships are beginning in the month of September. If you ever thought about, you know, maybe what it would look like to investigate what ministry in a greater sense would look like for you, how God has wired you and made you for that, this would be an excellent place for you to answer some of those questions. You can be a part of a cohort led to discern God's calling on your life as you gain experience alongside of our pastoral team. So you can get some more information on our CA internship on the website and, of course, apply there as well. And finally, The Fusion is our 18 to 35 young adult community. It's hosting a conference entitled Revive, and that conference is just 1 week away. I am excited for all of our young adults that have registered, and if you have not yet registered, encourage you to register. If you know somebody that's 18 to 35, don't miss out on that amazing event. Encourage them to register. There are going to be breakout sessions on the topics of dating, mental health, and sexuality. You can register today. We'd love to have you at the Fusion Conference. And as we move towards worshiping God through the giving of our tithes and offerings, I just wanted to read this passage of scripture out of Acts for us. It says in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that's what we want this time to be, a blessing for all of us as we get to reflect and consider how good and generous God is in our lives, and we get to participate now in worship through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, it is a blessing to give. And so would you help us to move towards being a part of that blessing. Thank you so much, Lord, because you are a great and generous God who sows so well into our lives, Father God. And so out of that, we want to worship you through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Would you bless each and every person that will be doing that, either here in the service or through our app, Lord. And we also ask that you would be with our young adults as they will meet and gather next weekend. Would you bless them with your presence? Fill them with your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, team. Well, it is good to be with you. If you are a visitor or guest, my name is Tom. What an honor and privilege to have you here among us. And of course, to those of you online, if you're a visitor or guest, we want to welcome you. Those of you who are part of our CA family online, great to be with you. About 40% of our congregation is online in the month of May at least, and 60% in person. And so I want to welcome all of you who are online. You've already heard about the Revive Conference. Want to encourage you, if you're a young adult, this is your last call because the conference is this Friday night and Saturday morning. Want to encourage you to get registered. In fact, we set a goal. We've already surpassed the number that we were praying and hoping for. So God is kind of on the move. If you are a young adult, want to encourage you to do that. You can register at cachurch.com. I'll be there. Bo Flores, our lead pastor for Fusion, will be speaking from the text where Jesus resurrected Lazarus. That's where the revive and resurrection theme comes from. And for those of you who might not be a young adult, but you have a young adult, you know a young adult, you work with a young adult, your apartment neighbor is a young adult, whatever it is, you might be the bridge person to help them get there and help them encounter God. So I want to encourage you to do that. Also, want to give you one other update before we jump in to Revelation as we continue our series. Last Christmas, we announced that we were going to be giving $50,000 to three different villages in Ghana for a total of $150,000. And each of those villages, we're going to receive three things through a partnership that we are establishing with an organization called Compassion International. Compassion normally does child sponsorships. We basically said, we're going to sponsor the whole village. And so we're doing a clean water project in each village. We're giving Bibles to anyone who does not have one and wants one that are age appropriate in that village, giving them the Word of God. And then we're also making contributions to those three villages, to the Bible-centered local churches, for them to do adult discipleship as well. So discipleship, God's Word, and water projects. And so we got a video back from them that gives us a little update. The water projects are not done yet. Let's just say supply chain issues and drilling wells are happening everywhere. Supply chain issues are everywhere, including getting drill bits to Ghana to drill the wells. So the wells are not yet done, but we wanted you to see this initial update from them. Would you take a look at the video?
Praise the Lord. I bring you special greetings from the Sankpala community to our friends at Christian Assembly Church, Los Angeles, USA. I am Reverend Bruce Wentry, the district minister for Sankpala Church of Pentecost and the minister in charge of Sankpala Pentecost Child and Youth Development Center. I am privileged to have the opportunity to reach out to you, our donors, to express appreciation for the generous funds you have been giving to several compassion churches to ensure that their communities benefit from access to clean water from a safe and a hygienic water source. Also importantly is the opportunity you have given to us to reach out to children with the Word of God by supporting us with the provision of Bibles to these young ones we are nurturing to grow in Christ. On behalf of the Church of Pentecost, Sankpala, the EP Church, Amedrofi, Presbyterian Church, Fofoso, Christ Apostolic Church, Awisa, and Sowa Apostolic Church in Somenya, I would like to thank you, Christian Assembly Church, Los Angeles, USA, for such a generous gift.
As churches, we ensure sustainability and a continuous education for a greater impact in our community, especially where children are concerned. For a considerable number of years, our communities have been battling with a number of waterborne diseases, such as typhoid, scabies, diarrhea, and worm infections. Right now, we are faced with a situation where community members have to trek over a long distance to go and fetch water. Sometimes, even children have to trek over a long mile to go and fetch water. By the time they return back home and dress up to go to school, school lessons have already begun. We have tried our possible best, especially educating the community. Since Compassion came in, there has been some progress. But now, with this intervention made possible by your kind support, we hope that this issue will be addressed in a more holistic manner. Finally, brethren, the Bible says that if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord and He will repay you.
May the Lord of Reward Himself repay Christian Assembly Church, Los Angeles, USA, for such a generous act of service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isn't it amazing that we get to be part of that? I mean, when you look at the water source, I think the picture is worth 1,000 words on why we want to be part of giving them clean water. And what a gift that we get to be part of it. It's really our honor and privilege to get to be part of that. And I'm excited. You know, as time goes on and all the projects get done, we'll give you the final update video once we have the wells drilled and the projects all done so that you can see the outcome of our prayers and our gifts and your gifts as we've given to them. Well, we jump in. Last couple weeks have been great, Matt, and then last week, Jake and Levi teaching as we're working our way through the book of Revelation. Now, you might remember this from the news, but the year is 2019, and over 1 million people were on the streets in Hong Kong to protest an extradition bill that would have sent people to mainland China. Do you remember this vaguely? I know a lot of news has happened since then. And what began to happen whenever they gathered and protested against this extradition bill? Do you remember what happened? Worship began to happen. In fact, the hymn, Sing Hallelujah to the Lord, became an anthem of worship and protest. It was sung nonstop at the main protest site in the front of the city's legislative council. And it was started by a group of Christian students. Interestingly, only 10% of Hong Kong is currently Christian, but the worship song spread and literally millions of people were singing this song. In fact, that's just one of the gatherings that was happening where people were singing the song. The hymn was composed in 1974 by a woman named Linda Stassen Benjamin in the United States at a local church just to be used at their church for an Easter celebration. It has five words that are repeated over four stanzas in a minor key. The protest in 2019 lasted over 10 days. They were largely peaceful protests despite the massive numbers of people out on the streets, to which one observer said that they credited that to the worship song that was being sung that helped everybody calm down and keep it as a peaceful protest. So whatever happened to the extradition bill that would have sent people from Hong Kong to mainland China? It was eventually withdrawn on October 23rd, 2019. Something powerful happens when we worship. But also, as we're about to see from Revelation chapter 5, as it reveals to us, when we worship not only because something powerful is about to happen, but we worship because something powerful has already happened as well. And we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. God, we have a lot to thank you for. We thank you, Lord, for the upcoming Revive Conference, and pray, God, that you would speak your word into the lives of so many young adults who are already registered, and you would just pour out your spirit on those gatherings. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to participate in drilling these wells and these clean water projects in Ghana, giving your word to those who don't have it or maybe didn't have it, being part of empowering the discipleship. And now as we come to your word, would you speak to us? Where we need encouragement and hope, would you give that to us? Where we might need conviction or challenge or just instruction and correction, would you give that to us, we pray, from your word, which is living and active. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, you can flip it open to this little center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there for us to fill out as we go throughout our time together. And you'll also see Revelation chapter 5. If you're online, the notes will be coming up for you. You can also get the notes from our website. Well, we've been walking our way through the book of Revelation, and we come now this weekend to about being just under 25% of the way through the book. Chapter 1, we saw, gave us a bigger revelation, a bigger vision of Jesus. Chapter 2 and 3 gave us a clear understanding that Jesus loves, encourages, but also corrects the church as we walk through the seven letters to the local churches. And chapter 4, which we looked at last week, chapter 5, we're looking at this week. The scene now is transitioned from earth to heaven, and we step into a scene of worship. Revelation chapter 5 begins this way in verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered, having seven horns and seven eyes, we'll come back to that, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe, language, people, and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth. Okay, we're going to pause there. Now, if you are breathing, you are a worshiper. There is something or someone that you are saying, even if you've never thought about it, implicitly, inherently, you are saying, you are worthy of my life. You are worthy of my energy. You are worthy of my creativity. You are worthy of it all. You can maybe worship yourself. You can worship other people. You could worship ideas. You can worship money. You could worship social causes or a celebrity. You can worship security or leisure or pleasure, but you and I are worshipers. In fact, the Bible teaches that you need to be very careful about who or what you worship, because what you worship, who you worship, changes you, either for the better or for the worse, because you will in time become like what you worship. You will become like what you worship. Now, this chapter that we're in Revelation 5 has a lot to teach us about worship, about why it happens, about why it matters, and why it's powerful for our life. The first thing I want us to see is this. If the book of Revelation doesn't call us to worship, we're reading it the wrong way. As we said, Revelation is not primarily a book about when, it is primarily a book about who. The question that is asked in this chapter is who? Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? Now, initially, the answer seems to be that no one is worthy. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth is worthy to redeem creation. I can't redeem myself. You can't redeem yourself. Our good works can't redeem us. Our money can't redeem us. Our education, our power can't redeem us. We can't put creation back together again. We can't put human relationships back together again. We can't put our relationship with God back together again. We live in a fallen creation, and there is no way forward, or so it seems initially, which is why John weeps so bitterly. Now, the scroll is mentioned, and as we're going to see as we go through Revelation, this scroll in the hand of God represents the covenant promise of both judgment as well as a redeemed people who will function as a part of God's kingdom, and they will reign on earth. Bit of background here. Roman wills or legal documents were normally sealed along the edge on a scroll with seven seals. And the seals guaranteed that no one had opened it or that no one had tampered with it. So, for example, in the Roman legal system, a will could not be opened until the death of the person whose will it was could be attested, that this person actually had died. So it's significant that it is the Lamb who has been slain, who is now worthy to open this legal document, this scroll. Under the Roman law, a document sealed with the seven seals was only valid whenever the addressee had received it, and only then would it begin to take full legal effect. Now, John says that this Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. Seven is the number of perfection or completeness all through Revelation. And in antiquity, horns were a sign or symbol of authority, and eyes were symbolic, like they are today, of seeing. So seven eyes means seeing perfectly, having perfect vision, seeing everything as it truly is. In fact, this word worship, it comes from two words, worth ship pushed together. That's what the word worship comes from. So our worship is based on knowing who God is and what God has done for us. Last week in chapter 4, the worship song that they sang in heaven was focused on God being worthy of our worship because he is our creator. This week in chapter 5, notice we're told that they sing a new song. Why do they sing a new song? Now it's not only a song that God is worthy of our worship because he's our creator, but now they sing a song of the one who is our redeemer. So he's our creator, but now he's also our redeemer. A redeemer is someone who repays or recovers or restores or saves or exchanges something for something else. God has created us. So therefore, we worship him for that. Jesus, the lamb who was slain, is the redeemer. He has redeemed us as we place our faith in him, so therefore we worship him for that. One theologian put it this way. She wrote, "Our lives are stories which, while striving towards a fitting ending, are always in danger of losing the plot line." Have you ever felt like that in life? I think I'm losing the plot line of my life. They're always in danger of losing the plot line, of becoming completely unraveled and collapsing into phrases and fragments. Worship of God, because it is an act of attending to beginnings and endings, helps us keep in sight the narrative thread that runs throughout our lives from beginning to end. The second thing we see is this, is that Jesus alone holds the future, and that's good news. The question is asked in heaven, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? Notice who is not worthy. Satan is not worthy to take the scroll. Caesar is not worthy to take the scroll. The S&P 500 is not worthy to take the scroll. We all know that. After the last 4 months, we know that the S&P 500 is not worthy to take the scroll. The Federal Reserve Committee is not worthy to take the scroll. The U.S. Congress does not take the scroll. Buddha does not take the scroll. Muhammad does not take the scroll. No celebrity influencer, no pastor, no media figure is worthy to take the scroll. Part of what Revelation is revealing about Jesus, because remember from chapter 1, the book of Revelation is all about a revelation of Jesus, from Jesus, so you can have a clear vision of who he is. Part of what Revelation is revealing is that the Lamb who was slain, who is Jesus, is unique. He alone is worthy to go and take the scroll and open it. As an old saying goes, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Now, sometimes, if you're like me, you can get a little worried about the future. The future of your personal life or a loved one's life, the future of society, whatever it might be. I can get worried about tomorrow. I can get worried about next month, next year, the future. And Revelation is revealing, Tom, Jesus holds the future, including your specific future. And the more that I personally focus on that truth, then I don't have to worry about the future any longer. How about you? You know, when I read God's word, it's not just that I read God's word, it's that God's word reads me. It reads what's really going on in my heart. Do I really believe Jesus holds my future? Do I really believe he's that powerful? Do I really believe God is still on the throne? Do I really believe that the one who is worthy, who died on the cross for us and our salvation, is able to take the scroll and begin to open it? What about you? Do you believe that? Yeah. Will you receive the revelation from Revelation that Jesus holds the scroll? Jesus, I assure you, and I assure me, will do a better job at holding your future than you will do at holding your future. He will do a better job at it, even when it feels like he's not doing a very good job at it. He will do a better job once the whole scroll, once the whole story is unfolded. Why is he able to do a better job at it? Because he has perfect authority, 7 horns, and he has perfect vision. 7 eyes. We have impartial vision and imperfect authority of that. He has perfect vision, perfect authority, and uses that power for us and our redemption. It's revealing something to us. When he takes the scroll, we get this picture of the four living creatures, the 24 elders, the harps and the bowls of the saints, of the prayer, all coming together in a new song of redemption. It's revealing something about worship. Sometimes we can think and even say to one another things like this. We can say, worship was good this week at church. Have you ever thought that or said that? I've thought that. I've said that. By which we mean the music was great, or we liked the song selection, or we felt inspired, or we were happy with the person that we were seated next to and we didn't fight on our way to church. Like, we felt good about that moment, right? I get that. I've said that too. Like, worship was great this week. But in Revelation in chapter 5 now, our vision of worship is being corrected to see that worship being good isn't based on what we receive, it is based upon what we give. In other words, the band can be bad and the worship can be great at the exact same time. How is that possible? Because we who are part of the congregation are not an audience watching the performance of a band. That is not what is going on. This is not a concert that we're attending. In fact, they are actually serving us, and if anything, we're the ones who are performing before the throne of God as we give God our worship. Now, ideally, we want the band to be good and the worship to be great, right? That's the ideal scenario, right? Somebody asked me this week when I get up to speak, I often will say, hey, can we thank the worship team? And they asked me why I do that. And in that conversation, I realized I want to make this crystal clear to us. When I ask us to thank the worship team, it is not because we're at a concert and they're performing for us. It is because they're volunteers who have been here for hours practicing in advance of our arrival here so that they could give their very best gifts for free to serve us so that we can worship together. So we're saying to them, thank you for what you've done to serve us and point us to Jesus. And of course, we don't just say that, okay, yes, we can applaud. And of course, we don't just say that to the worship band and team. We say that to all who volunteer, whether you're leading worship in kids' church or student ministries or women's Bible study or men's gap, whatever it might be. All who run all the tech and the lyrics and the sound, all who do the security and the parking and the welcome, all of that is all being done by a massive army of volunteers that are serving us so that when we come in, our attention can be focused on Jesus, the one who's worthy to take the scroll. So when we gather together, we come ready to worship. We thank them because they're serving with excellence. And honestly, for those of you that are part of the worship team, I'll just be honest with you. I've spoken at lots of different churches and stuff. I just want to tell you as a congregation, I think we all know this, but if you don't, I'll just say it explicitly. We're really spoiled. I mean, I saw smoke coming off Dan's bass. I did. And so we're really spoiled. So I want to thank you who serve. For all of us, if you're a Christian and you never receive another blessing from God, but you've been redeemed by the Lamb who was slain, then you, like me, have already received all you need to make worship great because of what you give. Because of what you give. You give your prayers. Revelation speaks of the prayers of the saints in worship. Your prayers that you pray in worship, they don't just bounce off the ceiling and come back. They're carried straight into the throne room of God. Let me ask you, what prayers are you praying, asking God to redeem the lost brokenness of this world? We have a lot to pray about these days. I read a pagan, atheistic politician who said, I don't want any more thoughts or prayers. I want action. And I thought, well, I don't expect an atheist to understand prayer. But prayer is always connected to action. And we should not take action that is not rooted in prayer and thoughtfulness. What kind of action do you want to take? I don't want your thoughts. I just want action. So you want unthoughtful action? I think we've had enough of unthoughtful actions in our culture. You want unprayerful action? I think we have enough of unprayerful action. Now, I don't expect a pagan atheist who's spiritually dead to understand the spiritual battle that's going on. But I do expect Christians to understand that. To understand that your prayers matter. That your prayers matter. Are there people that you're praying for regularly, asking God to redeem them and save them, inviting them to know the gospel, telling them about Jesus? Are there situations or issues in our world that we're facing together that you're faithfully praying and believing that God is going to redeem what is beyond our power alone to fix alone? That's not an excuse for us to not do our part. And by the way, in fact, Christian Assembly, over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to tell you about 4 brand new mission endeavors that our elders approved of and that we're going to be giving even more money away, both locally as well as globally, because of your giving, because of your generosity. So prayer and action go together. But we never want to take unthoughtful action. We never want to take unprayerful action. We want to be prayerful in our action because Revelation shows our prayer matters. We never minimize the responsibility to take gospel-centered redemptive action when we can. However, we also never minimize the power of prayer. Prayer is not the opposite of action. It is an action unto itself, and it guides our actions. But we see that worship is not only prayer, it's also singing. You sing your heart out in worship, a new song of redemption. Why do you sing? Because complaint and entitlement is the language of this world, but humility and gratitude is the language of the saints. Worship in our lives and around the throne of God maintains a true perspective on life, focused on God's reign and God's command rather than those of the beast and of Babylon, who we'll meet as we go through Revelation. Worship heals us from some of the pains and the discouragements of this world. But worship also fills us again with renewed power to take divine discipline to live the way that God has invited and commanded and called us to live. I want to call all of us, every single one of us who's a follower of Jesus Christ, who calls this church home, to make worship a priority every single week. Not once a month, not once the kids have a game. Listen, your kids might have a game. Great, so do mine. Well, listen, we have 4 different worship times every weekend and an online service. So I'm certain that you can find, at least through the online service, a time where you can be in worship on a regular basis. And so many of you are, right? You can applaud yourselves for that. Yes, I'm here. Look at me, I made it, I'm great. Look at me, right? So worship on a weekly basis. Now listen, I know parking's tricky. We constantly are working on that. And I know, you know, getting kids dressed in here and all the rest, I know that's not always easy, but thank you for the effort you make to be here and lean in and worship together. There is something special that happens when we gather and worship, and it's always been that way. The German monk, Martin Luther, once said it this way, quote, now tell me if this doesn't sound like a very relevant quote. Quote, at home in my own house, there is no warmth or vigor in me, but when I gather with others in the church, when the multitude is gathered together, a fire is kindled in my heart in worship, and it breaks its way through in a new way. I'm grateful for online service. I'm grateful for how it serves those who maybe aren't feeling well, maybe those who are out of town, maybe those who have physical impairments that don't allow them to be with us. But there is nothing like being together when we are not sick and we are present in town. The third thing we see from Revelation 5 is this. The universal authority of Jesus is the basis for the universal mission of the church. Jesus has ransomed for God saints from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Now listen, this is not some type of political social construct that if we all just try hard enough to be nicer, we can achieve reconciliation without God and the Lamb who was slain at the center of it all. Without the gospel at the center, when the pressure is on, our sin, our fear, our weaknesses, we are all in danger of reverting to tribalism. You don't believe me? Study history. Study the 20th century when people fell for the lie that they could build a communist, atheistic utopia without God being at the center of it. And what did it result in? It resulted in the slaughter of millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people. But with the throne of God and the Lamb who is slain at the center, then we have all that we need to love one another across ethnic, linguistic, or national boundaries. God's will, God's plan, God's purpose is that the Lamb died to secure that, and that those who are redeemed will live and will reign together forever. God's message of redemption is not limited to one specific culture, one specific ethnicity, or one specific country. This makes it crystal clear that there is no place for hating people based on the color of their skin, the language that they speak, or the country that they were born in. Anyone who comes to God in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, is accepted by God and will become part of the kingdom. And afterwards, Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, after he was resurrected, he came to his disciples in Matthew 28, and this is what he commanded them. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Think about that for a moment. 11 Jewish men were given this command 2,000 years ago, with some of them doubting while they worshiped. Now, we have the advantage of history. Don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of work to be done. But it is crystal clear, if you know history, that God has been at work gathering and redeeming people of every tribe, tongue, language, and nation. Consider just our own little congregation. We are supporting work to bring people from 22 different nations to the throne of God and to the Lamb who was slain. Our prayers, our giving, our going, our partnerships, our serving are touching lives, not only from people around the United States, that's one country, but in Mexico, Vietnam, the Philippines, Tajikistan, Iran, Ghana, Tanzania, Kenya, Nigeria, Cameroon, Mali, Niger, Ukraine, Hungary, Albania, North Macedonia, Bulgaria, Romania, Poland, the Czech Republic, and one new nation, Ethiopia, which I'm going to be sharing about in the coming months. 22 different nations just from this little congregation. I think about the Maasai people, a tribe of 1 million people. They used to be an unreached people group. Missiologists used to consider them an unreached group. But now, one out of every 7 Maasai are followers of Jesus. And this isn't only due to the work of Christian Assembly, God at work through us. It's not only through us, but we're part of it. Thank you for your prayers, for your giving, for your going, for your loving and serving. Whether the person of every tribe, tongue, and nation is on the other side of the world, or whether they're on the other side of the street. One of the gifts of living in one of the most diverse cities on the entire planet is you don't have to get on a plane to meet somebody of a different ethnicity in Los Angeles. You can sometimes just walk across the hallway in your apartment building. Walk across the classroom. Walk across the church building. There are people gathered of a great variety of backgrounds. God is at work redeeming people of every tribe, tongue, and nation, gathering them, gathering us around the throne in worship, and we get to be part of that. The rest of Revelation 5 concludes by the worship assembly growing even more. In verse 11 and on, it says, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. Now, a little bit on that. In the Roman Greek culture, 10,000 was the largest number. So when they say 10,000 times 10,000, it's really saying like the largest possible number that we can possibly imagine. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." You see there, it's a sevenfold doxology. He's saying he's worthy of all of our complete praise that we could give. In verse 13, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshiped." Now, CA, listen, as I reflected on this passage with the worship pastors, we wanted to give you some congregational compliments, is what we're calling them. We want to thank you for showing up, getting the kids ready, coming on time, and being ready to worship when you come. That's a gift to our time together. Last weekend, my sister was in town visiting because of my son's graduation from high school. We were here for the Student Ministries weekend. She witnessed the Student Ministries choir. She pulled me aside during worship and said, "Look at all those students. They're all worshiping God. Is it normally like this at this church?" Yeah, sis, this is what it's normally like at this church. Thank you for raising kids that are saying we're going all in. Like we see in Revelation, thank you for being a church that outwardly expresses your worship. You lift your hands, you applaud, you stand, you shout, and more. Thank you for singing so loudly. Some of you sing off tune, but I don't care. Before the throne, God runs your voice through auto-tune, and it all comes out okay. Thank you for lifting your voice and worship. Thank you for your ongoing generosity and giving. That empowers all that we do locally and around the world. Thank you for caring for people of every tribe, tongue, and nation so passionately, whether they live across the world or they're seated next to you right now. Thank you for always being a church that remembers that we gather to worship God and Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, empowered by His Holy Spirit and guided by His Word. Now let me close with a true story of worship among the nations. The city of Cairo, Egypt, has its own unique version of poverty. They call it Garbage City. And each morning, 7,000 garbage collectors on horse carts leave for Cairo, where they collect the garbage left behind from the city's 7 million residents. And after the day's work, they return to Garbage City. They bring the trash they've collected with them. They sort it out, trying to find whatever is useful or of value to make a living. Well, Muslims have certain restrictions, religious restrictions, on sifting through garbage or refuse. So the inhabitants of Garbage City are either secularists or Christians. They're the poorest of the poor. They're the outcasts among the outcasts. More than a decade ago, a young Egyptian man lost his watch. The watch was valued at $11,000. And as you can imagine, it would be unthinkable that a watch of that value would be found and then returned by a member of the Garbage City. And yet an old garbage man dressed in rags found the watch. On the back, there was an engraving with the man's name inscribed on the back of it. And he worked tirelessly to track this man down, eventually finding the owner and returning the watch to him. The young businessman, true story, remembers that the old man simply said, "My Jesus taught me to be honest unto death." Because of the garbage man's act of obedience, the Egyptian businessman later told a reporter, "I didn't know Christ at that time, but I told the old garbage man that I saw his Christ in him. I told him, because of what you have done, I will investigate your Christ. And if I too come to know him, I will worship your Christ that you worship because of what you've done." The businessman, true to his word, got a copy of the Bible, read through it, prayed as he read, ended up giving his life to Jesus, and he grew in faith. Soon, he and his wife began to reach out, sharing the hope of Christ with Egypt's physically and spiritually poor. 6 years later, he actually started and now leads a church that meets where? In Garbage City. Because an old man worshiped Jesus, and that changed how the old man acted and how he lived, which then changed how the young rich businessman spent the rest of his life and his eternity. You see, worship is a whole life action. With just one honest action, it changed who this young businessman worshiped. And that then changed who he is now. Worship changed a man's action, and it changed man's actions, pointed another man to the power of what Jesus has done and why he alone is worthy of our worship. Every week, in the front of our bulletin are these phrases: worship God, become part of his family, extend his kingdom. Revelation 5 shows all three of those phrases happening in just one chapter. May we trust God in ever greater measures that we see all three of these things, worship, family, and kingdom, in our lives as well. Will you pray with me? How is God using Revelation 5 to call you to full voice worship? To be willing to say, "God, you're worthy of it all. Jesus, you're worthy of it all. You created me, you redeemed me as I've come to you in faith. And I thank you for that." Where do you need to grow in your worship? In your physical expression, and your willingness to sing? It's kind of funny. We'll clap and cheer at football games, but then at church we just say, "Well, I'm just a little bit of reserved." No, I know, I've seen you cheer for the Lakers. You're not that reserved. Will you experience the peace of knowing that Jesus alone holds your future? In fact, right now, where do you just need to say, "I feel a little anxious about something in my future or my present, and I need to turn that over to Jesus because he alone holds the scroll"? And lastly, how is God inviting you to join his mission so that people around you, including people of every tribe, tongue, and nation, might come to know him and be redeemed because of his message through your life? Who is God putting on your heart and putting in your mind? And lastly, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, whether you're online or whether you're here physically present, you can do that now. You can say, "God, you're worthy of it all. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy to be the leader and Lord of my life. You alone are unique. No one else can take the scroll. Take my life, my future, my present, my past. Take it into your hand. Use it as you will for your glory and the good of others. Teach me how to know you, follow you, obey you, love you, worship you, both now and forever In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing like this. His hands created all of us. And his hands, they placed every stone. And his hands, they carried the cross. If he carries the world, he can carry me. His grace surprised my pride. Wanted to have Allison lead us in this next song.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round. The music
the next verse together.
This is my Father.